Hey, good to be with you. Have you heard the news?
No, what's up?
Are you on social media?
Oh yeah, I'm out there.
Well, we're on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and
Okay. I think what you're saying is we are everywhere now.
yeah, we're pretty much out there.
Okay, cool. You can listen to us, you can watch us,
Yes.
you can watch us and listen to us. You know.
After you listen to us, you can watch us. We just got a report that people like to listen and then later watch. So you can see, find us, see us until you're sick of us.
And then you can find us and see us some more.
That's right. It's like Groundhog Day over and over.
Well, it's time for Road Adventures with Cycling Men of Leisure, the podcast for cyclists who understand that riding is not just about getting to the destination, but the experience along the way. Now, here are the original Cycling Men of Leisure, Adam and Michael.
Hey, good to be with you again.
Happy to be with you again, Adam. How we doing?
Doing good. Look at that. We're actually together today.
Yeah, just together 2 weeks ago. Now we're together again. Where are we at?
Currently, we're at the RagBri headquarters, but we were here for the 50th route announcement party.
Yes, it was a good time last night.
You know, it was a good time. It was double the size from last year, I think. Have you ever thought about what it takes to run the oldest, largest, and longest multi-day recreational bike ride in the world?
Yeah, I have. No, I really haven't, actually. But no, I'm assuming you call a few people, fire, and maybe state patrol, and pick a couple places on a map, and put up a sign or two. Is that... There's your ride.
Oh, sweet, sweet. I probably has a little bit more to do than that. And lucky for us, today we have someone with us that could probably tell us that.
I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us introduce the director of RagBri, Matt Phippen.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Good.
Yeah, it's more than just that.
Okay.
It's a little bit more.
Well, you know, coming from the perspective of the rider, we drive or we fly to the starting town and we go and it seems all seamless. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of things that as a participant, we really don't understand or know or even appreciate all the behind the scenes work. So,
yeah, for us, if we do a good job, you never have to see any of those things. And for, you know, us putting on an event, it's usually those things that we're stressed about that we're trying to figure out. But the riders never experience that.
So we thought the route announcement party went wonderful. We really enjoyed the video and thought that was interesting. And I'm glad you still had the people on the stage to actually show the placard. That's kind of a historic thing for us. I mean, I remember being at home. So my first RagBri was 2016. And so I remember being at home watching the live stream and having the people on the stage. And so that is still really important to me. So you had both, which was awesome. So Port Tornadoes were awesome, of course.
Oh, they killed it.
I loved it. Speaking of killed it, they played some killer songs, which I love. So, so now we have our route. We're going from Sioux City to Davenport. What do you have to do to start planning each route each year?
Well, it started last year. Obviously, you know, year one for me as a director, you know, we had a 49 route that evolved over the course of our year. And we were just, as we were driving across the state, like, you know, Ann and I made 20 trips across the state and it wasn't just about year 49. It was about year 52. So as we're driving past places, we're putting notes in a notepad about maybe this place is the way to go. We looked at the route, you know, and year one was in, you know, a lot of people's minds. This is what they're going to do. Now, year one made a lot of sense, but year one only had six communities on it. So you had to make some changes to it. I love history and I love the history of what RagBri is. So for us to completely throw a curveball and not do any of those towns would be bad. Right. Yeah. So, you know, when we looked at the map, it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, personal for me from the standpoint of where do I want to go? If I want to ride my bike somewhere, like where is that at? And I've always said, you know, growing up that I'm living in Iowa. By the time I die, I want to be able to say that I've been to every community in Iowa. So it's like, where haven't I gone yet? You know, what makes the most sense? And I think for the scale of what 50 is, you can't go into Pocahontas with 50,000 plus people they just can't handle it. So you have to go to those communities. You know, I heard people last night that, oh, the big communities, it doesn't feel like, you know, like the true, the family aspects mm-hmm. of it. And I said, we're going to do a good job with that, but you have to go in those towns from an infrastructure standpoint. But the fun thing for me and what I love is the small towns. We're going to connect a lot of small towns to get to those big towns. So you're going to get big towns, you're going to get small towns and everything in between.
That's awesome.
Well, he brings up an interesting point, the ridership. We've made the assumption that because it's the 50th, the ridership is going to be a lot larger. Do you have an expected number of what you think the ridership is going to be?
I have a number in my head of what it can be. It's going to be bonkers. I mean, that's the only word I can really use. You know, we've talked to the state patrol, we've talked to the DOT about, you know, truly what can these roads handle. So we know, you know, we've had previous years we've had 30,000 plus people. You know, the one day we were in Cumming, Iowa, there was 40,000 people on that road. So we know that these roads can handle those numbers. I just think bucket list, if you ever wanted to do RagBri, it's such, the ball is rolling so fast right now that people are just super excited to come. And I think with our concert series that we're going to do, it'll draw people in that aren't riding a bicycle, just see a pretty amazing band playing in a town and they just show up to see the band.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because one of the things we were going to ask you about is the entertainment. As a rider, I always came into the town and I thought, or city, and I would think to myself, hey, they've got, you know, XYZ playing. Does the city set that up? Does RagBri set that up? Are you willing to talk about
how? I'm willing to talk about whatever you want. Yeah, so in previous years, it was the city. So what I found last year, day one of traveling across, that was their biggest stressor. What band do we get? Who's paying for the band? Because most of these cities just don't have this RagBri fund ready to tap mm-hmm. into. So they need to start, you know, finding sponsors and all that stuff. So we, Ann and I looked at it from the standpoint of how does RagBri help these towns? How do we help, you know, provide support and give back more? And Ann and I created a $1 million plus budget of what, you know, and we looked at like, what is that number? And we don't know. So we threw some stuff on paper. We partnered with a third party that's going to help us book talent. But we want to remove that off the overnight towns so then they can just focus on showcasing their community, doing what they already know every day, because booking talent, it's a racket. Like it's a back and forth and back and forth. And if we can help, you know, take away some of that little stressors, we can bring the RagBri staple bands that you want to see, and we can throw in some pretty amazing bands that you go, holy crap, I can't believe this band is in this town. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited. The third party we hired, you know, just an amazing group of guys. They feel like they're part of our family already. They've been to multiple events. They were in Mason City and they want to get eyes on truly what this event is. They were there last night. But you know, they want to make sure RagBri still stays the same. It doesn't turn into this corporate event where, you know, just, it doesn't feel the same. So, we're super excited to have them.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
One of the questions I didn't get to ask you is, a town. How does a city or a town become officially a RagBri city? They put an application in?
There is an application process. I mean, it's kind of like the Olympics and the kind of the bidding process. You know, there is a thing that we kind of send out to the towns, and every town gets one. And it's basically a questionnaire, you know, do you feel you can do this? If yes, here are these, you know, drop down menus of can you provide this? Can you provide that? Because there are towns that say we would want RagBri, but you know, they just don't have the stuff to do it. So, you know, they're, chances are, you know, it's based on population size too. You know, you an overnight town like Pocahontas, they killed it last year, mm-hmm. and they're one of the smallest towns we had in overnight. So it shows what's possible. A Pocahontas sized town could be in a year 51 or 52, but you just have to look at 50 and go, you know, if kind of know what we already know, which is a lot of people coming. We have to find those bigger communities. So then once we get all this, we kind of hope that those towns match up with where we want to go.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it does and it's great, but sometimes it doesn't, you know, and we have to reach out and go, we really want to come. And a lot of it is, I want them to get to know who we are and what our team is, because last year, my first year, we were building partnerships and relationships with every one of those communities. And I'm proud to say that at the end of last year, every town we passed through said we would take RagBri back.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. like my job. If we can do that, we win, right? Because then we're building a roster of communities that say, and next time it comes through our area, think about us first.
You won RagBri.
Yeah, right? And, you know, depending on where you go, people love North. People are crazy about Central. But you start to dip down south a little bit, it gets tough. Oh, yeah. And, you know, there are towns, I've always said, that love us, that would take us every year. If we could come back every year, there are towns in the middle that are like, "Eh, we want to learn more. Maybe we can, maybe we can't." And there's towns that say, "No, we don't want you."
We've experienced, you and I have experienced multiple. I mean, you come into a city that is actually hosting mm-hmm. or being an overnight town, and the amount of people you get is across the board. You get some that are so happy that you're there. Thank you for coming to our town. And they stand at the end of their driveway with bells and like cowbells and come on, you can do it. I'm like, lady, I'm doing it no matter what. I got it.
That's right. I'm here.
I got it, you know, so, but, and then we get people who are like, oh, get off my lawn, or these big, massive signs that say private property.
Do for not, sure.
Yeah. So, we've seen that.
Well, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what RAGBRAI is or what it was in the past. RAGBRAI has evolved. I mean, it's not the same ride as year one. And, you know, early on, we fought the battle of, we are so worried RAGBRAI is going to destroy our town, that we're going to have trash everywhere and it's going to be a complete mess. And the answer is, it wasn't. You know, we helped them plan. And we said, if you put trash cans every 10 to 15 feet, people will find the trash cans. And they did that. And we had a community that when we traveled back through, they were worried about, you know, the town getting trashed. And she said she got out of her, she got up the next morning to make sure that she went downtown before anybody got up to make sure there was no trash laying around. And she found trash, but she found trash from a festival that they did the week prior. It wasn't RAGBRAI trash. It was something that they just missed. But she was so impressed on how RAGBRAI Nation cleaned up after them. They were so respectful, and they left so much money in those communities because, you know, the town showed up for them and the riders showed up for the towns.
Well, that's interesting, because one of the memories that I have from, I think it was 2016, it went down south in Shenandoah. And I don't know if you guys still do it, but you guys had a street sweeper, and we got a late start that day, and the RAGBRAI street sweeper was there, you know, going through the streets, cleaning everything up. So we thought that was really cool that you guys just didn't, oh, here you go, we're out. No.
No, yeah, we want to leave an impact behind, and we don't want the impact to be a pile of trash. Like, yeah. We want it to be memorable. So, we just helping prepare them and just make sure that they know what to do. But yeah, I just being able to, and I remember years past when I went through my community of Vinton, my wife and I ended up leaving for a party. We came back and like, you just couldn't tell our ride even had been in the community because it was all put back together. There was no signs of anything. And it was a great day.
Yeah. No trace camping, basically. So
exactly.
Yeah. Well, leave only your footsteps.
Absolutely.
As I understand it, RAGBRAI traditionally gives back to communities. Can you touch on that?
For sure. So obviously the concert series is a big give back. Now that just affects the overnight towns. So that plays a role. We are going to also give back, you know, $15,000 to those communities. And that is to stay in the community, a nonprofit, you know, something, you know, a beautification project, whatever that is. Meeting towns, same thing, you know. I mean, you're hosting, as far as a meeting town, you're not as big as the overnight, but you're still providing a lot of support because all the buses are coming there. So we give them $10,000 as startup to help get the ball rolling. One thing we're going to change this year, and you may have heard this, all the pass-throughs. In previous years, pass-throughs just said, we'll sign up, we'll do it, we'll figure it out. Well, we said, $5,000 now will go to the pastor towns to help with the porta potties, to help with some of the things that they're just not ready for. Because some of these small towns, if the big towns don't have RAGBRAI funds, mm-hmm. these small towns don't have RAGBRAI funds. So for us to then take that budget and go, okay, here's what's going to cost for an overnight town's $15,000. Meeting town is going to be $10,000. Pastor town is $5,000. I think you're going to get more of these towns that go, okay, knowing we have that support, we can do this and run.
So one of the things that I was excited that you said that you do an interview with us is, as a rider, these are questions that I've had.
For sure.
Every time I ride, I come in and I see rows and rows and rows of porta potties, and I say, excuse me, Kai Bo, but I mean, I say, I wonder who's paying for that, or does the town pay for that? So I appreciate you kind of touching on that. Do you have any guess of how many staff members or volunteers? Now, Ann said to me last night that you currently have 4 employees here.
4.
And what about volunteers? Is that number just, I mean, endless?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you always want more, right? And, you know, it's always a stressor point, because during that week, a lot of these schools, it's kind of a no contact, where you can't be with the coaches. And that's when people plan their vacations, because there's nothing going on. Now we go. The volunteers always come. And that's when we tell people, you know, when we're in these towns, you know, you're not going to get people signing up day one when you put it out there. But by, you know, the day before, people are going, hey, we're in town. Where do you need us? What do you want us to do? So I don't have a number. you can never have too many volunteers. And, you know, it's also one of those things too, you need to have the right volunteers,
right.
You know, putting a, you know, a 15-year-old girl at an information center because she says she can help out. It's a body, but it's not the right body for that, you know, that station. So, we rely on the towns to do it. But yet to your point earlier, four people put on this world event. And I am so proud to, I mean, to say that it's a small but mighty team of four, and we're growing. We have, you know, some jobs out there that we're trying to positions we're trying to fill. But man, if we could double our staff, it just takes pressure off of the team and, sure. You know, kind of how it all works. You know, I'm the only one that focuses on RAGBRAI, you know, as my only thing, where Ann and the rest of the team, they're focusing on Ride the Rockies, Bat, some of these other events. So they're getting pulled, you know, selfishly, I want them all for RAGBRAI, but these other events are in our portfolio, so we need to show them love too. So right. They're stretched thin. So yeah, four people put on this event for the most part.
Wow. I'll drop off my resume on the way.
There you go.
Well,
there
you
go.
You better be careful because I saw online that they are hiring.
Oh, yeah,
yes, we are hiring.
I don't know if my wife would let me get away with that, but one of the really cool things, and I think this will be my sixth year riding. I started in 2002. So, and took some hiatuses to ride some other state rides. But one thing that we both mentioned that we were really impressed with is last year we seemed to see you everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, he's here, he's there. I know that when we listened to your interview on the Just Go Bike podcast,
yep.
They had also talked about that. And I think it was really interesting because before I don't really remember seeing the ride director. Right. And I think one of the big things was,
it was that bridge that you were standing there personally at the bridge directing, yep. And you were saying, hey guys, please get off. And not only that, you were apologizing that sorry guys, I need you to walk and everything. Not everybody walked, but
no, we tried.
You had 99% success. So. And then it was amazing. We'd see you there. And then on that route, on that day, again, not to be repetitive, we really highly enjoyed your interview with Just Go podcast, but you were there. I mean, what was the mindset?
I wanted to be present and I want to be transparent and I want, you know, I get to be the face of what this team is, you know, and it kind of frustrates me a little bit because I get so much credit for how amazing this ride is. You know, because of you, this ride's so awesome. And like, it's not because of me, it's because of my team.
Right.
And I just get to be blessed to be the person that does these podcasts and goes on TV and talks about things and is the voice in the face. And, you know, obviously I'm not the best looking guy, but like it's my role, right? I get to be that person. We all play roles on this team. And that's my position. So anytime I can, you know, receive a compliment about how amazing it is, like, I just want them to know, yes, thank you, but just know that there's a team behind me that's truly pulling this. And to give credit to that team, they allowed me to be in those towns last year. They knew I wanted to do that. They knew I wanted to do it this year too. And they're working behind the scenes so I can then, you know, a lot of the things just didn't get back to me because they just handled it. You know, so if something did flare up, Ann and that team just stepped in, took care of it. I never even heard about it,
right.
You know, until it was, you know, the week was over.
Or months later.
Yeah.
Here you are in the office and someone said, you remember that? And you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, and that's because they knew I wanted to be there. We owe it to RAGBRAI Nation to be there. And, you know, I kind of said it on stage last night. It's magic in a bottle. I mean, people have a different RAGBRAI experience that has changed their life. It gets them to want to come back every year, and they want to tell me about it. We want to talk about it. Now, I also hear people like, do this, do that. Like, you're stupid. Why would you do this? And, you know, like I always say, I'm always willing to listen. I may not be able to do exactly what you want, but we're going to listen. And, you know, I think when stuff happens because of change, they can look at it and go, oh, it's because of me that this is changed. Like, perfect.
Right.
I mean, you brought to our attention, you were frustrated with this. It made sense. We made the change and the ride grew. So yeah, no, I absolutely love being in towns. You know, Jack, who has been part of RAGBRAI forever, he was my driver. So he got me into these towns. He was, you know, strategic as far as how he wanted me to get in and drop me off. But there was towns that I was in there for 30 minutes. There was towns I was in there for 4 hours. We had the Highway 20 thing that was kind of debacle. Yep. We had the bridge being out. And I just said, we got to make sure that we communicate with riders early on what they're going to experience. And I'm going to be there right there in the morning before riders get there just to help with that, because you're crossing a major highway and it's not just an easy straight across. It was a zigzag.
Yeah.
So it required more. And then, you know, the bridge being out, the bridge was on route. We were fine. And literally we get a phone call saying, yeah, we're knocking this bridge down. It's like, what? So there was plan B, and you know, that county came together and we had a little off route, and like the county loved it and it was super safe. And, but no, like you have to be present. You have to be around.
A couple things you said there. You said you're not the best looking guy. I don't think you're a bad looking guy.
Oh, thanks.
I am the, my company, I'm the phone, I'm the voice, and interactive voice. I'm the yes. voice. I always say I'm the voice of the company. I'm not the face of the company. That's so, funny. You actually shared a lot on stage last night, and I just want you to know that it was inspiring. I mean, when you said some of the things that you said about Ragby saving your life and everything.
Yeah, there's so many stories, and you know, if I think it'd be so cool for someone to write a book and just, you know, ask for a paragraph statement from our riders of something that's happened on Ragby, and just it's a coffee table book, right?
You just sent me one of those last week.
Did you like it?
I love it. So
it's great. Isn't
well,
it?
You didn't actually send it. To be fair, I had signed up for it ahead of time, but it yes. was awesome. So
yeah, we love it, you know, and that's it's that, and I love it because it's pictures, right? Yep. It tells a story.
Yep.
But you know, to talk to that gentleman outside that, you know, that restaurant in, you know, Sergeant Bluff, and you know, to see him, like his eyes kind of, you know, tear up, and you find out truly how impactful the ride is. And you know, I've lived in Iowa my entire life. I experienced it when I was 10 years old. You know, being an Iowan, this is just what happens in Iowa. You ride your bikes. But then you have these people that, you know, there was a gentleman at our meeting here on Friday that basically flew in from Massachusetts just yep. to come.
I know who that was. He actually went through Detroit, and I'm from Detroit area.
Okay.
And so I flew to Kansas City to be here. And so our friendship, Michael and I, actually developed over Ragby. So
very cool.
In 2016, we rode together. It was the day of the optional Century Day, and he could see I was struggling a little bit. And he said, hey, you can ride with me. I don't ride fast. He said, but you know, we'll get there. And just the friendship is built over many years. And so here we are today. So,
well, and I'd be willing to, I don't know you guys, like it's the friendship is gone. It's more of a family, right?
Yeah,
and
I think that's absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the, and I will say family over and over again. And we have a Ragby family that is our staff that, you know, shows up for each other every single day. But you just, you know, Ragby is the biggest family reunion you'll see every year. I mean, people, complete strangers that, you know, these communities open up their houses and welcome them in, and the fridge is there, help yourself to whatever you need. And then you hear the story of they get a, you know, Christmas card every year and they stay in contact. And as soon as the town's back on the map, they already have a spot picked out for them. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely incredible. But, you know, like I said last night, this ride happens because of the people of Iowa, because of the state of Iowa. And if for one reason the ride stops, it's because Iowa says, nope, we're done. The towns don't want it anymore. But I just think that, you know, that'll never happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, last night, before the announcement party, you had the Iowa convention. Yeah. And we actually were walking in the convention and saw some people that were in our charter last year. And here we are hugging in the middle of, I'm sure people thought we were nuts, but like, hey, good to see you. You know, are you guys going to the party tonight and everything? And so, you're absolutely right. When, I mean, I haven't seen them since July when we ended the ride last year, but it's like I hadn't, you know, hadn't skipped a beat. So
yeah, it is definitely, definitely cool. So, I think the big question I have for you
sure.
is, you took on this job,
yeah.
this passion, this love, as a director of the largest, longest, biggest recreational ride in the world.
Yep.
Where do you go from here? We'll be back after a quick break.
Well, it's... You know, I feel, you know, I say, okay, I came from a company that, you know, I had all the best intentions of retiring. Like I was going to retire with Shields. I had no intentions of ever leaving. And, you know, my job there was to get the part-timer to want to go full-time, the full-timer to want to make this a career and truly like lock them in. So that was hard. So coming into this role and, you know, kind of, you know, year one for me, you know, kind of learning the behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I knew a lot about the ride just because I had so much experience around the ride. Multiple pre-rides, we were a sponsor. So I knew it, you know, very, very well. I believe we haven't even scratched the surface. You know, I think what we did last year to show, Ragby Nation what's possible. I mean, I heard about last night, people loved last year's ride. Now the bar is set very high. You know, like you give Ragby Nation a taste of what's out there. They want it every year. And, you know, the biggest thing, and I bet hundreds of times last night, how's the weather going to be? Are you going to provide us with 70 degrees and tailwinds?
I tell you what, as a rider, I didn't complain. 78, 85.
No one was melting. I mean, I stood at a corner with the state patrol for an hour and watched people turn and go into a town, and no one was sweating. And I remember talking to one of the state guys. I said, God, I should have made this harder. Like, it was just, it's too easy for these people right now.
Well, but I think you did that with 500 this
yes,
year.
Yes, 500 miles. But no, it's incredible to see the weather was, it plays such a major role. And that's with any event you do, you know, weather always, you know, is the deciding factor. And, you know, with as much as we prepared last year, if we could have, if the script would have been flipped and it would have been 110 degrees and headwinds every day, not everybody's high-fiving. Not everybody's is jacked about the ride, because it is tough. But like I said last night on stage, it's better than your best day in the office. Truly is.
Yeah,
definitely.
One of the people in our charter came over to my table and he said, did you see the elevation? And he said, oh, day one. I said, the difference about Iowa, it's rolling hills. So, I mean, at least you have the inertia coming down to go back up. I mean, it's not like starting at the bottom and climbing, you know, 35.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like, you know, to be fair too, you stretch that out over 80 miles or whatever it looks like. It's not terrible. You know, on the graph when it's smashed in the middle and there's these big spikes, people are going, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make it. But you find that right gear. You guys know, you guys ride and you just spin, you'll go right to the top of the hill.
We don't look at the graphs anyway.
No, yeah.
My first year I did. And then after that, it was like, okay, this is more like of a family event. Sure. I'm not concerned. Couple more questions. We appreciate you. Is there anything that you could share on our little show that people would just be just absolutely surprised about RAGBRAI?
Surprised about RAGBRAI? I don't know if there's anything that's a surprise. I think what I want people to know is, you know, this team, me, like, we're going to do everything in our power to provide a safe ride. You know, that was a question we had, you know, yesterday was, how are you going to make it safe for all these people? And, you know, we can't wrap you in bubble wrap and make sure everybody's protected and there's going to be crashes and it's going to happen. I think communication plays a big role, you know, talking about, you know, what the roads are going to look like leading up so people are prepared. E-bikes plays a big role. Now, depending on who you talk to, I absolutely love e-bikes.
Right.
E-bikes are, you know, being in the bike business with Shields, they're a way to keep people on their bikes longer. Yep. And, you know, we have two people that are on our team that, you know, had reached out to me that said, hey, we're getting to a point in our life where we just can't ride our bikes anymore because, like, we need help. What do you think we should do? And I said, you guys need e-bikes. And now they're in their age riding longer together because of the e-bike. Now we got to fix and we got to talk about how to ride an e-bike, because there's nothing more than a kick in the, you know, the stomach when you are climbing that big hill in your smallest, you know, your granny gear, trying to get to that top, and, you know, your heart's ready to pop out of your chest, and then e-bike goes flying by at 25 miles an hour up the hill.
Right.
Like, there's a, be good to your fellow cyclists. So having those conversations, safety for me is a big thing. You know, DOT, they want us on safe roads. State Patrol, they want to help direct and get riders across. So safety is a big thing. So we're looking at a lot of ways to make it safe. RAGBRAI is whatever you want it to be.
Right.
You know, people have talked about, well, what if you started doing staging and, like, people can't, like, there's just blocks where you kind of send them out in waves, and it's like, that's not how it works, right?
It almost be impossible for you to control.
It is.
That.
You just can't.
Yeah.
But what we can do is we can talk about what that day is going to look like. And if you want to get up super early and get on the roads, know that you have that ability. Now, there's a fine line. You know, our course the roads open at 6:00. And there are bikes, and you guys know this, that are on 5:00, 4:30, sure. Like, they're trying to beat everything. And that's, from a safety standpoint, that's tough. You know, even last year, like, as we're up functioning, getting ready to go, we're seeing bikes leave towns and there's no blinkies on the back of, like they're just not ready to go, you know, but they want to get ahead because they think there's going to be no, you know, that early in the morning, nobody's going to be out. Well, yeah, the farmers are doing their thing. Like, there's vehicles still on these roads. So it's just talking through what that looks like. And then, you know, the other thing too is we're there to support. We have no support on the roads at 6 a.m., you know, before 6 a.m. You know, Bob and Care Ambulance, they're not out till 6 a.m. So if you do go down, it takes us longer to get to you. So safety is a big thing, you know, with all the people. I am worried about that. You know,
right.
We are going to be on some bigger roads because we have to support, and the DOT wants us to help and, you know, provide support. But no, back to your question, I think what I want RAGBRAI Nation to know is, man, I love my job. Like, this is... what it's done for me and my family. And I, you know, I have three girls, and I think if you ask them, they don't like me being home as much as I am, but I love being home. Like I miss basketball games. I missed, you know, being a dad because I worked retail, and, you know, my wife's the same. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she ran our girls to all the activities and ran the household and was a teacher when I was at work, you know, working retail. Because now me being involved, I'm looking at going, how the heck do I do this?
Right.
You know, and provide support. But no, I love cycling. I've been around it my entire life. My goal when I sold bikes was to get more butts on seats. And, you know, I think in July when people come to Iowa, you're going to see a lot of butts on seats.
One thing I just want to add to what you said is if someone just happens to pick up on this podcast that's never ridden Rag Bri, I just want to make it known that when you talk about support, you guys have EMS motorcycles, you have ambulances. I mean, I've never felt more safe on a ride. I mean, it's sad for me as a rider when I hear the noise, the siren coming behind me, because then you're thinking, oh no, who went down? Hope everyone's okay. But as far as if no one's ever ridden this ride, the support you guys put on and your team and all the towns and their volunteers and everyone, it's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you know, and I've been a cyclist, I've never had to use it, which is good. But, you know, Bob and Care Ambulance, you know, he always jokes, if you ever want to get hurt on a Rag Bri, because we're there like this. And, you know, I saw it in a town last year. You know, I'm down in the masses talking to people, and a woman's riding up to me, and she crossed a wheel and went down. That was the first one there. And, you know, I literally radioed, and Bob was, you know, two blocks down, and his team was right there. But yeah, we have their ambulance, we have the motorbikes, and then this year Bob got e-bikes. So you'll see e-bikes on the route. They're actually in the masses riding with people. So it's just an extra line of defense.
So last year I actually had to call 911. We had a gentleman who went down. We think he was having a cardiac arrest situation.
Yep.
And so I picked up my phone, not sure if I was going to have service, and I called 911. I think I was a little amazed at the technology because the gentleman on the phone said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry. I have no idea where I am. I just left this town." And he said, "Do you see a red barn right there on your right? And behind you there's this telephone pole?" And I was like, "Yes, actually I do see that." He's like, "I know right where you are." And within minutes later, here came a sheriff and an ambulance. It was just absolutely, amazing. So,
and we, you know, like safety is like the number one thing, you know, but we also know because of the amount of people that you're going to have those, you know, getting lost in Iowa is what I call it. And you're kind of just, you're in your own little world. And I watched, you know, last year, you know, being on route of being completely oblivious to your surroundings. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched a woman from the right side of the road completely just left turn into a driveway, and, you know, people were yelling at her, but she was just so like smile on my face, the wind in my hair. Like I love what I'm doing. And I'm the only person on this road, but that's what Rag Bri was for her.
Right.
It's whatever you want it to be. So that was her Rag Bri.
Well, on behalf of Michael and myself, we want to appreciate you joining us today.
Anytime.
And we thank you for being with us. And Michael, would you have anything else?
I have actually two things.
Yes, sir.
Number one, just for all the entries that we received on our Guess the Route, which we received a lot of guesses, we're going to be tabulating those up to find out who our winner is, and we'll be announcing that here in the next.
And Matt offered to enter, but
he did offer to enter.
Man, I would have loved to win.
For some reason, we decided that might not be fair. But you know, what do I always say, Matt?
It's a great day to ride a bicycle.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming along with Adam and Michael on Road Adventures with Cycling Men of Leisure. If you have enjoyed this, please share the podcast or tell a friend about it.
Hey, have you heard the good news?
No, what's up?
We have two official week-long rides on our schedule.
Oh boy. Where are we going?
Well, first we're going to be heading to Georgia with brag.org. And we've officially signed up for Shoreline, a ride in Michigan on Lower Peninsula at rideshoreline.org.
Going to ride the Shoreline of Michigan. It should be fun.
If you haven't signed up, join us. We will be at both of those events. We look forward to having you with us. Definitely check out rideshoreline.org and brag.org. So we'll look forward to seeing you this summer.